This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
And like the statement he made was interesting, you know, because that's something I hear from other black people. You know, it's very interesting to see that an old white man also looks at black people in that way. I understand the statement is just a shot coming from a old white man like Joe Biden.
And you're going to let him get away with that?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I shouldn't have been such a wise guy. I shouldn't have been so cavalier. They're African Americans you think Trump is worth voting for. I don't think so. I'm prepared to put my record against his.
In 84 with the mandatory minimum sentences for drug dealers, 86 with the crack laws that gave you more time for crack cocaine and powder cocaine, 94 crime bill. Like, the whole system needs to be dismantled and rebuilt, and he's been a very intricate part of that system.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Our nation, our government, has failed the Americans who gave their lives fighting our nation's wars. We, as people, are not living up to their example if we aren't wearing masks to protect others, or if we're packing bars this weekend because we're tired of being cooped up.
I call this Turf and Turf. It's a 16-ounce T-bone and a 24-ounce porterhouse. Also, whiskey and a cigar. I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free American.
Unchained and unstoppable.
To every Gold Star family here today and all across our land, our debt to you is infinite and everlasting. We stand with you today and all days to come, remembering and grieving for America's greatest heroes. They were larger than life itself. They were angels sent from above, and they are now rejoined with God in the glorious kingdom of heaven.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Hello, everyone. Howie Carr is taking a well-deserved day off today. We are running the show. It is Grace Curley and Taylor Cormier is on the board. We've got Jared on the phones. We've got a very full, fun show for you all. And like I said in the last hour, we want to start by thanking all of those men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice to allow us to live in this wonderful country. And so many of the freedoms we have are not free. People had to pay a dear price for them. So we thank them on this day and on every day. Now, just because Howie's not here does not mean we will not have Grace's News. And Grace's News is kind of popping today. I got a lot of good stories. And Howie's actually going to be mad he missed this first one only because it involves an alligator. And if you don't know this, Howie loves alligators. His heart feels like an alligator. He likes naming alligators. And this story is about Adolf Hitler's rumored pet alligator. The rumored pet alligator has died at age 84.
Oh, no.
Yes. And there was
a human being.
The reptile who goes by Saturn recently passed away in the care of the Moscow Zoo, which he called home since the 1940s after he was discovered by British soldiers and gifted to the facility shortly thereafter, once Germany suffered defeat in World War II, of course. So there was a lot of controversy on Twitter because the zoo came forward and said, listen, this alligator is not responsible for the sins of any humans, including Adolf Hitler. He's an animal.
That alligator needed to die. I'm so glad it's been brought to justice.
Other people were saying, so he was an alligator of Hitler's for 10 years, but then he lived another 75. Why are we letting this control his legacy? Why is this his narrative? Anyway, rest in peace, Saturn, wherever you may be. In more important news, Ilhan Omar says she believes Tara Reid's sex assault claims against Joe Biden. I want to talk about this, Taylor, because a lot of women have come forward and said they do believe Tara Reid. She's a very credible source. She worked for Joe Biden in the 90s when he was a senator. And her story adds up. It adds up a lot more than Christine Blasey Ford's story did. And they all believed Christine Blasey Ford. So a lot of women are now coming forward and saying, I believe Tara Reid, but I'm still going to vote for Joe Biden. Ilhan Omar came out and basically said, I believe Tara Reid, and if I had my way, Joe Biden would not have been the candidate. We all know she supported Bernie Sanders, but still, this is a shift from the rest of the squad. AOC has thrown her support behind Biden. A lot of them are kind of just falling in line for Biden. And
I think most of them have been fairly quiet about the Tara Reid allegations.
They have, which I give Ilhan Omar credit for speaking up and saying she believes this woman. She said, "I do believe Reid. Justice can be delayed, but should never be denied."
Well, if anyone needs to garner public favor out of the four, it's Ilhan Omar.
I would totally agree. 100%. But the interesting thing here, and this is how I feel about Joe Biden. He was going to be the moderate candidate. That's what I think all Democrats were hoping, is that we just have to get someone in there. You know those signs, they say any functioning adult 2020. That was what Joe Biden, before we really saw how bad he was, that was what he offered to people, was he's not great, he's not especially bright or witty or quick on his feet, but he's likable and he's fine. You know, he's like vanilla ice cream. There's nothing offensive until, you know, we got more into the pictures and stuff like that. But he seemed like a safe candidate for anyone but Trump.
The fact is that I don't remember.
Until we found out that the fact is he can't remember much. But I think what Biden has managed to do now is he's gone far enough left where he's trying to appease the AOCs and the Ayanna Pressleys, how he calls Ayanna the Ringo of the squad. He's done enough to try to make those people happy. And in a sense, he's lost a lot of the moderates, because if you're a moderate and Joe Biden's talking about Ayanna and AOC and Bernie Sanders and all their policies and kind of adopting all of these super far left and extremist policies, you get scared and you're like, well, maybe I'm better off with Trump. And then on the flip side, if you're someone who supports Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know that Joe Biden is a phony. You know he doesn't actually believe all of this far left rhetoric, that now he's just doing it to try to get himself over the finish line. So what I'm trying to say is, when you stand in the middle and you try to make both people happy, people who fundamentally don't agree with each other, I'm talking the moderate left and the far left, you might just lose both.
He's become lost in his own party.
He really has.
He was there when the party started. He welcomed everybody in.
Gave everyone punch.
And then in true Biden, in true Biden fashion, he said, "Where am I? What the hell am I doing here?"
I didn't even mean it in a weird way.
Whose house is this?
It is so true. And he just can't really figure out what he's doing. And now the one group of voters who he was so proud that he had on his side, he would go to those debates and he would yell that all the black people were going to vote for him. And now he's managed to get them angry, so they don't want to vote for him either. And when you have Charlamagne the God and P. Diddy and these black, prominent, successful male figures saying, wait a minute, the black vote ain't free. That's what P. Diddy hashtagged.
It's one thing to brag about getting the black vote. It's another thing entirely to deliver on results. And that's what President Trump has done. And he does brag about that. The black unemployment rate is the lowest it's ever been.
The First Step Act.
When
you really put Trump's accolades with the black community versus Biden's, Biden has done a lot of damage to the black community. He's responsible in large part for the crime bill that put a lot of young black men in prison. So I think that he was probably going to be okay if he steered clear of getting people mad, but that's what he's done. And now when you have an Ilhan Omar coming out and saying that she believes, he's kind of getting hit at all angles right now, because you have the Tara Reid, you have the you ain't black comment, you have China and Hunter. Don't forget, guys, how bad Joe Biden was with China. Remember, he would mock Trump and say, oh, what, China's going to eat our lunch? Yeah, right. You know, Trump's overreacting about China. That looks bad now. It's just not looking good for Joe. But I don't want to spend too much more time on that, Taylor, because I have a lot of other stuff I want to talk about, including Casey Hunt. So Casey Hunt is on MSNBC, and Taylor put a little bit of her in the introduction. She's really, really mad at people who are going out this weekend and not following the rules and enjoying themselves and not living in this apocalyptic, bunker-down, masked world that she wants everyone to live in. So let's play, Taylor, I want you to pick the best one. Which is the most absurd?
Cut nine.
Cut nine it is.
Our nation, our government, has failed the Americans who gave their lives fighting our nation's wars. They protected us. They gave everything for us, only to have our leaders fail us now. We, as people, are not living up to their example if we aren't wearing masks to protect others, or if we're packing bars this weekend because we're tired of being cooped up.
I just get the sense that these anchors and pundits and experts and these people on CNN and MSNBC, I really get the sense that they hate us. That they hate the fact that we all want to go out and have a beer, that we all want to sit on the beach. There's just this real sense that we're all redneck deplorables because we did what they asked for weeks on weeks on weeks. We did it. We flattened the curve. And now because we're asking questions, because people, and to be fair, it's not just that people are tired and want to go out and pack a bar. A lot of people want to put food on the table for their families. A lot of people want to save their businesses. So there's this disconnect that we're being selfish. And someone like Casey Hunt is so much morally superior as she sits in her little studio and tells everyone, how dare you? How dare you go out and, you know, and then to bring in the vets and all this into it is just so inappropriate.
How dare you?
I do agree with her, though. We have failed our veterans. We have failed the men and women who have died in service to our country only because we have just played the lemmings. We've fallen into that sheep mentality where we've given up our freedoms. Famous quote, those who give up their security for free, those who give up their freedom for security deserve neither. That's so true. And it's no truer than it is today. We have failed them. They fought so that we didn't have to become these socialist societies, these dictatorships that control the rule of the land. We ask no questions for the most part. What I see, we ask no questions and we have just turned on each other. I don't know if you saw the video earlier today out of Staten Island of this woman in a grocery store not wearing a mask, and she had throngs of people shouting at her to leave the store. It almost became physical.
And it was scary.
And she said, I'm a grown woman. I can be here without a mask. That's my choice. It's your choice to be here with a mask. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later about masks. I don't think people are getting great masks, which is why you should go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals banner and get a great mask at a great price with that code word HowieCar20. But a lot of these things are just homemade and do nothing. It's all placebo.
Well, Taylor, and we'll talk about this on the other side. I agree with what you're saying, and Jared had said it to me last week, and it really stuck with me. He said, the left is trying to program us into feeling as though our freedoms and our desire to keep our freedoms are selfish. And it's this guilt mechanism of you're a bad person because you want to open up and you want to go to a restaurant so you don't care about my grandma. And it's this really twisted kind of psychological thing where they want us to feel bad when no one should feel bad. Everyone can make their own decisions. Everyone has free will, and we're in America, thank God, and that's what makes this country great, is that if you don't feel good and you're scared, you stay home, but you don't tell me what to do. And someone else on Twitter, Taylor, said your choice to be scared stops at my choice to be free. You know that expression of stops at the tip of my nose, your free speech or whatever? It's the same thing. You can be as scared as you want, but it cannot hinder your psycho scaredness about whatever's happening in your life cannot hinder my right to go out and live my life. Guys, we have so much more to get to. We're going to talk about the match when we come back with Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Phil Mickelson. And we've got Joe DiGenova at 430, 844-500-4242. Maybe I'll take some calls next. This is Grace filling in for Howie. This is the Howie Carr Show.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
Hi,
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howie for the rest of the hour, and then Taylor Cormier is going to take over. But before we do the switcheroo, we have to do the poll question. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommate's music, not your family's music, not your coworker's music, apparently, according to Taylor.
Especially your coworker's music.
And Raycon wireless earbuds, which I'm holding up right now, are the way to go. Howie got these for me for my birthday. If you want to get 15% off your Raycon order, go to buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. They come in this adorable case, magnetic, and they just stick right in there, and then you can charge them very easily, and they stay in your ears well, and they sound really great on conference calls or whatever you want to do with them. So that is the Raycon demonstration for the day. Taylor, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you support voting by mail?
No, 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 no.
Do you support voting by female?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, no, I do. I do.
Gotcha. 96% say they do not support voting by mail, male.
I'm a big fan of voting by female. I do it all the time. By the way, Taylor, I have a tweet here from Trump about voting by mail. He says, the United States cannot have all mail-in ballots. It will be the greatest rigged election in history. People grab them from mailboxes, print thousands of forgeries, and force people to sign. Also forge names. Some absentee, okay when necessary, trying to use COVID for this scam.
I can only imagine. Have you seen, like, a lot of these people, they'll dress up in some sort of uniform, they'll knock on your door and ask you if you've considered solar electricity for your house or
yeah.
Scams like that.
I hide.
I can see a lot of that happening with voting by mail. You may have received this in the mail. We would like to help you guide you through this process and what boxes you should check. And that's a lot of elderly people or anything can be manipulated if it's out of control.
I totally agree. And there's a lot of talk now that Trump won't accept the results of the election and Trump's trying to rig this election. What about the Democrats? What have they been doing for the last 3.5 years? Stacey Abrams thinks she's governor. I'm confused. Every time Hillary Clinton comes on TV, people say the woman who should have been the first female president of the United States. It doesn't seem like they're really great at accepting things either. They kind of seem like sore losers. Do I think Trump will put up a fight if he doesn't win? Of course, it's Trump. But why are we pretending that for the last 3.5 years, the Democrats haven't tried to undo the first election?
Right. The only reason they're trying to rig the election is because they haven't been successful in rigging the presidency or undoing it, more to say that, to that point. Several failed attempts, one impeachment, but everything fell flat with the American public.
Right. So they're holding on to this coronavirus for dear life. Someone had a column a few months ago and they said, the Democrats aren't running on Joe Biden. They're running on the coronavirus. And that's becoming more and more evident as time passes. I just find it hilarious that there's all this talk about, you know, why is it bad to have mail-in voting? I don't trust them. I don't trust Democrats with the regular elections when we're in there pulling the levers. I definitely don't trust. We're gonna try a whole new system 1 month before. Doesn't make any sense. All right, guys, when we get back, we have the wonderful Joe DiGenova joining us, and I have tons of questions for him about Obamagate, General Flynn, and much, much more. Don't turn that dial. It's Grace Curley filling in for Howie. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning back in. I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howie Carr. I've got Taylor on the board and Jared on the phones. And most importantly, I've got Joe DiGenova on the line. When it comes to Obamagate, no one has followed it more closely than Joe. Thanks for being with us, Joe.
My pleasure.
So, Joe, I want to start because whether it's the unmasking of General Flynn, the FBI notes that came out, This is a Watergate level scandal. And Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary, keeps saying to these reporters, there's a stunning lack of journalistic curiosity. I know you understand that lack of curiosity because you've been talking about this for so long and you've been getting scoffed at and laughed at. Did you think that they would play this dumb when the actual story broke and all the news came to light?
Yes, I did. And the reason I did is I know them. I know most of the senior members of the press corps, radio, television, print. And for the most part, there are very, very few of them that are honest and distinguished and care about objectivity. Most of them are Trump haters, and they are delighted to tell a false story in order to hurt him. It's a very tragic thing to say that because American journalism is the bulwark of our democracy, and now it has become the BS of our democracy. And it's a shame. They have abandoned the First Amendment. They are not protectors of it. And regrettably, I have to say they're not even, I don't think they're entitled to its protection. But right now, they have abandoned the First Amendment, and they've abandoned the American people in a partisan pursuit of the destruction of a president that they didn't like and they didn't vote for.
Now, Joe, there seems to be a lot of people who are big fans of acting DNI Rick Grenell. He has been described by the president as a superstar, and he's recently announced that he's going to step down as the ambassador to Germany. His successor will be, for the DNI role, will be John Ratcliffe. Do you see Rick Grenell staying in the Trump administration in some capacity, or do you think he's just done with the swamp?
Well, it would be wonderful if they could find the right spot for him, which would be Secretary of State. That's what Rick should be. He should replace Mike Pompeo. I think Pompeo does not want to hang around that much longer, but I don't think Rick wants to hang around in government just to see if Mike Pompeo is going to lease it. I think Rick wants to leave government for a while and then come back. But he would be the perfect choice for Secretary of State in a second term. I don't know if Pompeo is going to stay till the end of President Trump's first term, but we shall see.
Let's talk a little bit about Judge Emmett Sullivan. There's so many stories coming out right now. For people who don't know, General Flynn's case, you know what, Joe, you explained to people the DOJ wanted to drop General Flynn's case. They wanted to dismiss the charges. Now, Judge Sullivan is saying that he does not want to do that. As of, I think, today, he hired some hotshot lawyer to defend him. I don't know who's paying for that. But what is the deal with this judge? And is there a chance that he gets his way here?
To answer your last question first, no, he's going to lose big time. The judge is going to be overturned. He's going to be forced to dismiss this case because the law from both the Supreme Court and the D.C. Circuit, where Judge Sullivan sits, is that he has literally no discretion whatsoever. He is a ministerial actor when the government files a motion to dismiss, particularly in a situation like this, where the government says it is dismissing the case because it was a corrupt case which had no basis in fact and law, and therefore it cannot in good conscience under the Constitution continue to pursue it. If he does not dismiss the case, which he will be ordered to do by the Court of Appeals, he will be removed from the case, and another judge will be given instructions to enter an order of dismissal. By the way, the question you asked, who is paying Beth Wilkinson,
yes,
the woman that he has hired to represent him, is a very big question. I don't know that he has a right to hire anybody with government funds, but there's, of course, the press is completely incurious about that question. No one would dare ask Judge Sullivan or his chambers, who's paying for this broad? Who's paying for her? And nobody will ask him that question.
And the other thing I've noticed, Joe, and keep in mind, so when I hear about stuff with Spygate, it takes me, I would consider myself the average person consuming this story. It takes me a little while to figure it out. I don't always follow it perfectly. But I'm noticing that what the press is running with is that unmasking is not a big deal. They think it's totally normal. Can you explain to people, in case they get, you know, they're at the cookout and someone says, oh, they unmask people all the time, it's no big deal. Explain why this was so egregious in this case of Michael Flynn.
Well, because in the beginning, the press was reporting with the assistance of Susan Rice that unmasking just didn't happen. It was a rare event. it's a very serious matter to unmask the identity of a U.S. person, usually a U.S. citizen. And then all of a sudden, when it was discovered that the president of the United States, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, and other people from the FBI and the DOJ knew about unmaskings of General Flynn, 39 requests over a very limited period of time, all of a sudden, the comment from the Dems and the press was, oh, this is quite normal. It happens all the time, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. It's an unusual event. There are very strict rules inside the National Security Agency and the FISA court for doing it. And the fact that it was done quite cavalierly and regularly, especially by Samantha Power, is a scandal. And John Durham, the special prosecutor working for Bill Barr, is looking into precisely that issue, along with a number of other things, like who is the person who leaked the Flynn-Kislyak transcript to the Washington Post. By the way, nobody has ever seen a story with the content of that transcript in it. No one has ever seen that transcript. No one's ever heard it other than the people in the government. No one has ever printed a story about what was the precise content of the Flynn-Kislyak call. And yet, and by the way, General Flynn has never seen the transcript. He's never seen the original 302. Now, ask yourself about his original lawyers. How could they possibly allow him to plead guilty without seeing those two key documents? You talk about slugs. Covington and Burling, this very expensive law firm that charged him $6 million to plead guilty. What a bunch of unethical bastards.
No, you're totally right. But it's funny hearing, because if you're watching this as an outside observer, someone who doesn't know as much about the law and the situation in D.C., you watch the press and they're asking Kayleigh McEnany, who's doing a phenomenal job, they're asking her, well, what was criminal about it? Trump keeps saying there was a crime here. What was the crime? And the crime that she keeps going back to is the leaking of the unmasking to the Washington Post. And I think it was Dan Bongino today who said, whoever did that should get jail time. Do you think that will ever come to light?
Oh, I think it's going to be one of the indictments that comes out of the Durham thing, because that's a 10-year felony. And it was purposely leaked as part of a scheme to undo Flynn. Remember, that was probably leaked by a combination of people in the Department of Defense, the FBI, and the Department of Justice. And what you have from that act, besides the leaking was part of a conspiracy to undo General Flynn and to undo the President of the United States, to defraud the United States government. That leak was a very important overt act in the conspiracy. And so the press can tut-tut this all they want. It doesn't matter. These horses are out of the gate. I mean, they're coming down the fairway. And, you know, we're at the 16th pole. And this is going to collapse. And the press, which doesn't care, by the way, the press hates the president so much. They do not care that they look like fools and people who've abandoned their journalistic integrity. But when it's over, and it will be over when the indictments come down, whether anybody gets convicted or not doesn't matter. What matters is the people are going to know finally that Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Susan Rice and James Comey and Loretta Lynch and Sally Yates presided over the greatest violation of constitutional rights in the history of the country, and they did it with a smile on their face and with the consent of the American press.
And it's amazing, because this is the scandal-free Obama administration. How often do we hear that shoved down our throats? Scandal-free, scandal-free. And this is, I would argue, one of the biggest scandals, at least in my lifetime, that I've ever seen come out. And Joe, you've been saying this since day one, and you get a lot of heat, even from our listeners who say Joe comes on every week and says the other shoe's going to drop and nothing happens. Now it seems like things are moving, and you kind of always knew that was going to be the case.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, you don't have to be a brainiac to figure out. Once James Comey exonerated Hillary Clinton on July 5th, 2016, and I labeled him America's dirty cop, I'm delighted that the president has taken that phrase over from me. Once James Comey did that, it was very clear what was going on. There was a plot to exonerate Hillary Clinton, get her elected, and if she didn't get elected, to to frame Donald Trump. And in order to frame Trump, you had to frame Flynn. But here's the thing. The people who call these conspiracy theories, they continue to do so in the face of irrefutable evidence that there was, in fact, a criminal conspiracy against candidate-elect, and President Trump. There just isn't any question about that anymore. That's why Judge Sullivan is going to get slapped down so badly, he's going to have an armored car to get into the courthouse.
I look forward to that. I mean, I just want General Flynn to have a little bit of justice here. It seems like this guy cannot win. He's lost his whole life savings. I don't know where he goes to get his reputation back. It just seems so unfair. But Joe, before I let you go, I wanted to get your take on this. I saw this in Breitbart today. It says Twitter appears to have removed its blue verified checkmark from a number of users on the platform over the past few days. A purge that included Rudy Takala, a journalist from Mediaite, who reported on former President Obama's abuse of government surveillance powers. So he says, this guy, August, says he tweeted his column about the Obama administration spying on journalists at 5:47 on Thursday. About an hour later, his verification badge magically disappeared. Does this stuff scare you that maybe they're trying to control this narrative so much that they're just not going to even let people know about what's going on with the Obama administration?
Well, there's no doubt about that. And Twitter, by the way, this is an antitrust case. Twitter, Facebook, all of these people that block content from conservative people, conservative websites. The blocking of content is wrong, and they know it, and they're doing it, and they think they can get away with it long enough to get through the next election and defeat Trump. The Department of Justice should be seeking injunctions against them. They should be filing antitrust lawsuits against them, and they should be filing criminal antitrust actions against these companies. The deprivation of constitutional right to speech. I know they're a private company. But you know what? There comes a point where a private company, see Mobil Oil, when a private company becomes so big and so pervasive that it becomes a public utility in fact. And that's where Twitter and these people are. They are suppressing free speech. They are more than a private company. And if they want to stay private, then the Justice Department should be coming down on them with the hammer of antitrust. And I'll tell you something. If they are, in fact, and you can find out through discovery, if they're conspiring to deny people speech, if that's what their algorithms do and the screwballs who run it, that should become a criminal act. That's a violation of civil rights.
Joe, my last question for you, and I thank you so much for being with us on this Memorial Day, is when can we expect to see some indictments come down? I know that Bill Barr said that Obama and Biden will probably steer clear of it, but I feel the same way you do, that we're going to see some, we might not know, they might not be huge names, but we're going to see indictments. When do you expect that to happen?
June.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Joe. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week. I'm Grace Curley, filling in for Howie. We'll be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. Howie is taking the day off, but I am here co-hosting with Taylor Cormier. We've got a lot to talk about. We just had Joe DiGenova on, and he gave us tons of information about Obamagate. And I mentioned a few times Kayleigh McEnany, because everyone knows I'm her number one fan, very inspired by her. But also, she's just putting these reporters on the spot, and she's coming prepared, much to their dismay, to the press conferences. And if you thought that Chris Wallace was a rhino, well, this definitely confirms it. He had a panel on his show this weekend, basically ripping into Kayleigh McEnany for doing such a bad job. And I wanted to play this. This is Jonah Goldberg on Chris Wallace's panel talking about how awful Kayleigh McEnany is doing. This is cut 11.
And he had told Sam Donaldson and me, what questions we should ask, that would not have gone well, Jonah.
Yeah, look, it's nice to see Donna so deferential to Kayleigh McEnany. I think her behavior is indefensible and grotesque. And I think that what she has done is she is, you know, there's this cliche in Washington that President Trump wants Roy Cohn as DOJ, as the Attorney General. What Donald Trump wants in a press secretary is a Twitter troll who goes on attack, doesn't actually care about doing the job they have, and instead wants to impress an audience of one and make another part of official Washington, another one of these essentially cable news and Twitter gladiatorial arenas. And it's a sign of the defining of deviancy down in our politics, and it's only going to make things worse.
A sign of the defiance of deviancy down in our politics. You know what that tells me? That tells me she's doing a good job. Molly Hemingway tweeted, "You can something along the lines of, you can tell a lot about someone by who is coming at them and criticizing them." And I always feel that way. If someone is Trump deranged and they tell you that you're doing a terrible job, you're probably getting under their skin and doing a good job. And I just can't believe that this is how they react when someone goes on the offense a little bit. We're all supposed to take all of this criticism from these White House press journalists, using air quotes there, who throw things at how, what do you say to people who think Trump is a monster and Orange Man bad? And this woman, who's a graduate of Harvard Law, comes forward with her credentials and her paperwork and her proof. And she just brings, as Taylor always says, she brings the receipts. And they're so mad because they don't like that.
And who are they? Did they write the job description for press spokesperson under Donald John Trump?
Exactly. Like, Donald Trump's the president, and I'm a big Trump fan, but he's a Twitter troll. Who's to say he doesn't want his press secretary to be a Twitter troll?
If she were to sugarcoat everything that he said and did, they'd be accusing her of sugarcoating. She's the perfect mouthpiece for Trump.
Oh, right. But now it's the same thing. They did the same thing with the attorney general. When it's Trump's person, it should be someone who has no affiliation to Trump, doesn't support him, you know, is basically a rhino, is a never Trumper, says it how it is, even if it makes Trump look bad. But when it's Obama's guys, they can be wingmen and they can, you know, they can be his biggest fans and his BFFs, and he can have bromances with everyone. But when it's Trump, he's supposed to put all these people around him who don't have his back. If I'm Trump, and by the way, she's not talking to an audience of one, because we got at least three people here. And we watch the press conferences with popcorn. We love it. Guys, Taylor will be back for the 5 o'clock hour. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Grace Curley, and I'm filling in for Howie Carr.